Hi there. Welcome to the Biz Communication Show. I'm your host, Bill Lampton, the Biz Communication Guy, bringing you communication tips and strategies that will boost your business because my guest and I are going to share winning words and ways. It's a distinct privilege today to host Colonel Lee Ellis, who comes to us from the greater metropolitan Atlanta area. You've probably seen Colonel Lee Ellis as a media guest on CNN, CBS This Morning, C-SPAN, ABC, and Fox News. What a privilege to see and hear him now on the Biz Communication Show. Colonel Lee Ellis began his highly distinguished military service career as an Air Force fighter pilot, flying 53 combat missions over North Vietnam. In 1967, he was shot down and held as a prisoner of war for more than 5 years in the Hanoi area prison camps. After liberation, Lee resumed his Air Force career. He earned his nation's highest awards, including Silver Stars and the POW Medal. In civilian life, Lee Ellis is an award-winning author, leadership coach, and speaker in the areas of leadership and human performance. His list of clients reflects his global impact. His latest book, Captured by Love, set for release on May 30th, is one that I have in hand because I was fortunate to get an advanced copy from Lee. Captured by Love gives us remarkable insights into the story of 20 amazing men who protected liberty, and also the exciting story of the courageous and loyal women who not only waited for them, but advocated for their well-being and release. I know you join me in saluting and welcoming Colonel Lee Ellis for our conversation about Captured by Love. Hello, Lee.
Hey, Bill. Great to be with you again. Great to see you again. We've known each other many years now, and you launched me into my speaking career probably 12 or 14 years ago.
That's one of the highlights of my career, was working with you when you first started out. And I remember how we met, our earlier conversations, and how excited I was to have, and still am, to have played any part at all in helping you get your dynamic message across, which by now many thousands have heard, they've read about, and believe me, it's a wonderful pleasure to host you. I mentioned out at the outset here the book that's going to be released May 30, 2023, Captured by Love. You have written several books, Lee. So your other books also talked about your Vietnam POW experience. So the logical first question would be, then why this book? What does it add that a reader couldn't get from your other books?
You know, just back up and start at the beginning. If you had told any of my teachers or my mother that I was going to be an author of a book, they would have laughed at you because I probably never wrote more than two pages, except maybe four or five in college. And I've written several books on leadership and bringing into it those books, the leadership lessons that we learned in the Hanoi Hilton, because we had great leaders, and it was in a very difficult circumstance. But what we learned was that those lessons we learned there apply every day in the workplace. Well, at our POW reunions, I kept hearing these stories of couples, especially the wives were sharing, because I knew their husbands. I'd lived with them locked up 24 hours a day, sometimes for years. And I heard these stories of how they met and about their love, you know, their romance and so on. And I said, Hollywood could not write a script this amazing, this romantic, this exciting. Somebody needs to write a book. And then I realized nobody was going to do that. And I said, well, I know how to write a book, and I could get some help from a romance writer. And the two of us, Greg Godek, who had written a book that sold over a million called 1001 Ways to Be Romantic. And so the two of us worked together. We got 20 couples. All the guys were POWs for more than 5 years and up to 8 years. Two of them were there 8 years. and both of their wives waited on them until they came home. And so it's just amazing that what those women went through, how they raised kids without their husbands, how they stood up in the late 60s when women didn't have a lot of the freedoms that they have now. You know, if you want to buy a house and you were a woman back in 1969, you probably weren't going to be able to unless some politician helped you, because banks just didn't loan money. So it's great stories about the women, about the romance, and some stories about the POW camps and what we went through.
Well, while we're on the topic of the women who, the lady loves that they left behind, you mentioned it, and I'd like for you to expand on it a little bit. That was in the late 1960s. That certainly was not a time when women were as vocal, as politically involved as they are now. We had Betty Friedan and we had Gloria Steinem, but they were very much the exception. So give us an overview, please, of exactly the steps that these women took.
Yeah.
In fact, they were told at first to be silent, not to do anything, but they didn't stay there. So what were the steps they took for two reasons? One, more humane treatment for the POWs, and secondly, working toward their release.
Yes. You know, the women, as you said, were told, it kind of came from the State Department for diplomacy. They said that the families of the POWs should be quiet. And so keep silent, be quiet, kind of became the thing. And that was passed down to them, and they did, because they were loyal and wanted to do the right thing for the government and their husbands and their sons, like me. I was still single when I was shot down. And after a while, several years, like Commander Stocktail was shot down in 1965. So by 1968, he's been missing for 3 years. And a lot of POWs were shot down and captured in 1965. Some of the husbands were not known, whether they were POWs or MIAs, missing in action. They didn't know if they were dead or alive. And during those years, and so these women got tired of waiting for 3 years and the government saying, you know, keep quiet. Because North Vietnam, the communist government there, had signed the treaty, the Geneva Accords, which indicated and they committed to lenient and humane treatment of captives during the war, and two, that they would be accounted for. They would tell the families or tell the government, the other government, who was captured, and three, that would be allowed to write letters home. So they were not abiding by those conditions. And so the wives were saying, why isn't our government hitting them over the head about the treatment of our POWs and they're not following the Geneva Conventions that they agreed to? So this is what really started them to push back in the late 60s. And it was led by, obviously, one of those was Sybil Stocktail, Commander Stocktail's wife. And she got a bunch of the wives in the San Diego area who were Navy pilots' wives. Remember, most of all the POWs over North Vietnam had been shot down and captured. They were aircrew people. And then there were some back on the East Coast at the Navy bases up in the Norfolk area and Virginia Beach area and down in Jacksonville. Well, the same thing started to happen around big Air Force communities like San Antonio and down in Tampa, Florida, and other places and around D.C. And so they realized that what they needed to do was unite. And so they formed what started out as a League of Wives and then was changed into the National League of POW, MIA, Missing in Action Families. And that group got really large and they had good support. The government, they had no finances from the government. They were all supported by people like Ross Perot and the locals in their hometown. One lady from Spokane, Washington, their hometown provided her and three or four other ladies who were missing in action in that town. They had a base there, Air Force base, and they provided them with the funds to travel to several countries, maybe 15 different countries, and meet with diplomats and encourage them to put pressure on the communists of North Vietnam to treat us in accordance with the Geneva Conventions. So all of this started to happen in 1969, especially, and it did happen. Another thing happened then was we had a new president, President Nixon, and his Secretary of Defense, Melvin Laird, Secretary Laird, really listened to the wives. They got appointments with him. He listened, and President Nixon accepted meetings with them and sat down with them and listened to them. And they changed the policy from keep quiet to go public. And now the government started to put pressure on the North Vietnamese. So these wives and families had changed the policy of the U.S. government. And now they all work together to change the policy of the communist government, which they did. When the communist president Ho Chi Minh died, and a few weeks later, the new leaders got installed and they stopped the torture.
One of the things I've thought about quite often, there were two or three times during my career, my previous career before I became a communication consultant, two or three times when I moved to a new location, but my family could not move with me quite then because of a daughter having 3 or 4 months before her school term ended, and we didn't want to disrupt that. So many of us, I guess, in civilian life have had situations where we had to move away from our families for a while, but we could contact them. They could contact us. In those days, telephone might have been it before we got the internet, but we could still be in touch. We could go visit. And I often think, when I think of the POWs, you and the others who were there from 5 to 8 years, that's an entirely different situation, which the rest of us have difficulty imagining. Lee, in a couple of seconds, we're going to come back and we're going to talk about the durability that you and the others endured in the Hanoi Hilton. Be right back.
Do you wish you felt confident about giving speeches? Do you want to deal with difficult people constructively? And what about becoming more persuasive in sales? Then keep listening now to Dr. Bill Lampton. He spent 20 years in management, so he knows the communication skills you need for success. I urge you to call the Biz Communication Guy today for a no-cost but very valuable 30-minute discussion about your communication challenges. Call now, 678-316-4300. Again, that's 678-316-4300.
Lee, Captured by Love is a totally enthralling book. I pre-ordered mine, which it won't be available until May 30th. And all of our viewers and all of our listeners, I encourage you to pre-order that book. And when that book arrives, you're going to be overwhelmed by the patriotism and the love that's combined in the book. Lee, getting to another topic now. In the book, you certainly talk about romance a lot, but you also are very frank in the book about what went on in the camps. And there are even very vivid drawings of the positions of torture. The torture, the isolation, the brainwashing, all of it was to try to get information from those who were captured. So the question any of us have is, as we look at what you went through, how did you endure that? How did you and the others endure that and remain loyal to oaths that you had taken?
I think step one was that we were committed to follow the code of conduct, which was 6 articles that we had memorized in our basic training and along the way, and which basically said we wouldn't cooperate and collaborate with the enemy. We would be faithful to our country and our teammates, and we would resist making propaganda and all that kind of stuff. And so we were committed to that. Okay, now they're going to torture us to make us break that commitment and to do something. Well, we resisted. And what we learned was they could make you do something. And but they couldn't make you do what they wanted, generally speaking. In other words, I was tortured to fill out a 3-page biography on my life and my family. I think it was something they were building for the Russian, building a dossier on American pilots or something. Well, I refused. I gave them name, rank, service number, date of birth, which was what we're supposed to do by the code of conduct and the Geneva Conventions. I gave them that and then no more. And then after being tortured, I finally gave in because I just felt like I couldn't take it anymore. And when I did, I filled out that 3-page biography. And the only thing that was true on there was my father's first and last name, because I was hoping to be able to write a letter home someday. That was the time I'd been there several months and I hadn't written a letter home, of course. I wrote my first letter at 2 years and got my first one. They were all 6-line letters at 2.5 years. But I was so ashamed that I wasn't able to beat them. Fighter pilots are very competitive and proud. And so to go back and know that I had given up, I was ashamed of myself there. And then just ashamed to be with a group of warriors that I had not been strong enough. Well, I get back and I find out they had been through the same thing. And sure enough, some of them lasted longer than me and some didn't last longer as me. And so what we learned was that eventually they could make you do something, but you didn't give them what they want. They wanted propaganda. Admiral Denton, Commander Denton in the POW camps was tortured to say that, and he finally agreed after a lot of torture to say that the U.S. bombing was wrong and they should stop it. That's what they wanted. They wanted propaganda. That was the main thing that they wanted out of us, anti-war propaganda. And so he went out into the press conference in front of the video cameras of the old days. These were not video cameras. These were old movie cameras for that press conference. And when the Japanese reporter asked him what he thought about his country's bombing policy on the bombing, he said, I've been here a long time and I don't know what my country's policy is on anything anymore, but whatever it is, I agree with it 110%. It was like in your face. Well, they didn't want to lose face and drag him out in front of the camera right then. So they let him answer a few more questions. And then they took him out and they tortured him again. But while they were doing that, he started blinking his eyes in Morse code. He blinked TORTURE twice. It was brilliant, courageous. In fact, you can still see that if you put in your browser, Denton blinks torture. You can see that original video and you can see what he did. So we had such courageous leaders that helped us to be tough because our leaders were tough. And between our leadership that we had, what we had learned about being committed to the code of conduct, our faithfulness and loyalty to our country, and the fact that we stayed united. You cannot do battles and go through hard times alone. Our psychology and mentality is not strong enough generally to fight alone forever. And when we had teammates that were always caring for us, reaching out, taking risks to communicate with us and let us know, hey, man, we're proud of you. We're not going home without you. That unity held us together in such a way that we were able to resist over and over again and bounce back and bounce back. And to some degree, that's exactly what was happening back home. The women got united, they believed in their cause, and they weren't going to give up.
I've often said, if I wanted to know the definition of patriotism, I would just look up in the dictionary and there would be the picture of you guys. Very much so. As I read the book, and getting to a lighter side now, as I read the book, sometimes people say, well, I met this person by coincidence, or it was providence I met them, or it was an accident. But the book contains some entertaining and also uplifting stories about how some of these couples met either pre-war or post-war. Give us a couple of examples, please.
Yeah. Well, one of the pre-war stories is Smitty and Louise Harris, and he had dated a lot of girls. He was single and fighter pilot, flying around. You know, you could take off and fly places on the weekend and visit, met a lot of girls. And then he met Louise, who was a flight attendant. They call them stewardesses back then. And she was pretty sharp. And he kind of liked her. But he took her to the club one night right after they met. And he was introducing her to some folks. And he didn't call her Louise. For some reason, he forgot and said, and introduced her as Jane. And she turned around and looked him in the eye and said, "Well, thank you, Tarzan." And so they became Tarzan and Jane. Well, that was, he was one of the ones that was a POW almost 8 years. And she had two children, was 6 months pregnant when he was captured. Didn't know if he was dead or alive for a good many months and maybe years. And she raised their son. She had two daughters and raised their son, who was 8 years old when Smitty came home. And they've had a great marriage. But others, one gal was a Pan Am flight attendant, and she was stationed over in London. And her friend, who was wearing one of those POWMI bracelets, it had a person's name and the day they were shot down on it. And she looked at it and she said, "What's that?" And he said, "It's a POWMI bracelet." And she studied it and found out a little bit more about it. And she ordered one and she got one, and it had James Bailey on it. So she got it, and then she was single, so she wrote a letter to James Bailey's family and sent it back to the group that sent out the bracelets. And they sent her back and said, "Well, he goes by Bill. It's James William, and he goes by Bill." So she prayed for him every day and waited several years, a couple of years, until he came home. And then she sent him a note and said, "Hey, I'm over here in London. If you ever get over here, stop by." Well, he went to Europe on a vacation a couple of months after we came home, and he reached out to her, and she said, "Well, I'll be back on Tuesday. I'm flying to New York." And he says, "Well, I'll meet you there." Well, he got to her apartment, and she was late getting in that day because of bad weather in New York. She walks in the door. She had a roommate, a girl roommate, and he got there early and was visiting with her. And when Susie walked in the door at her apartment, Bill goes over and grabs her up, hugs her, and swings her around in a circle. And they start talking. And a little while later, she and her roommate go back in the kitchen, and their roommate said, "You're going to marry him." She said, "Oh, no, we're just going to be friends." Well, 2 weeks later in Paris, he proposed to her. They've been married 48 years and just had a fantastic marriage, several kids. And the stories are just like that. They're just so amazing how people met. And I dated a lot of girls when I came home, and they were nice and good looking, but I didn't meet the one until I was transferred back to Valdosta, Georgia, where I had gone through flight school, and I was an instructor pilot in the T-38. And one night, two girls walk in the club, and I tell a friend of mine, "Hey, I'll see you later. I'm gonna go dance with her." And sure enough, it was only 6 or 8 weeks, and I thought, this is the one.
And you've been dancing for a lot of years since.
48 plus now.
Marvelous. Captured by Love has many wonderful stories like that, inspiring true romance stories from Vietnam POWs. I'm proud to have my name associated with this wonderful story in any way. Lee, every time you and I talk, the time just flies, because your story of true dedication, love of country, and then later the terrific career where you talk about leadership and you talk about teamwork, that's not just something you got on a weekend course. You lived it. And so that's why your books and your speeches have such wide appeal. I know that there are people who will definitely want to get in contact with you, so please give us your contact information, Lee.
Yes, it's Lee at leadingwithhonor.com. You can go to our website, leadingwithhonor.com. And there's a lot of free tools on there for leadership and teamwork, free stuff on there. And also you can read about my leadership books there. And then for the new book, the POW romance book, Captured by Love, the website is POWromance.com. So that's pretty easy to remember, POWromance.com. A couple of stories on there, pictures of the 20 couples that are in the book, before and after type stories, early marriage and late marriage. And I think you'll really enjoy just visiting that website, POW Romance. And you can pre-order the books there now too.
Thank you very much for that. And since you have given your contact information, I will very happily share mine, my YouTube channel. If you go to YouTube and go to the search bar, type in my YouTube moniker, which is Bill Lampton, PhD. And while you're there, be sure to hit the subscribe button because you'll have access to this interview, which I really like to call a conversation, and many others, and also some individual communication instruction interviews, presentations that I've given. I think it's about 450 total videos there for you. And in addition, I certainly invite you to go to my website. Since I'm the biz communication guy, it's bizcommunicationguy.com. After you get a look at my services for corporations and leaders, please give me a call, 678-316-4300. Let's talk about your communication challenges and problems and how I can assist you with them. Lee, as we close out this exciting and enheartening conversation, do you have any words to sort of pull it all together for us?
I have two things to mention. One is I want to encourage people to use your services. They really helped launch me as a speaker. And so I appreciate that. The other one is the title of the book is Captured by Love. And as I think about that more and more every day, love is the most powerful thing. Every person wants to be loved. When you look at somebody and smile, that's like a small ray of love. When you accept somebody by smiling at them or say something positive to them, you affirm them, it really helps them grow into a healthier person and helps them feel valued and important. I believe that those are really rays of God's love, and love is the most powerful stabilizing thing we can all have. It got us through the POW situation. It got the wives through, and we've had great marriages because of that. Leaders, husbands, wives, love those around you.
A great message. As I remember, there's one couple in the book, married 63 years. Is that right?
Yes.
Colonel Lee Ellis, thank you so much for being with us on the Biz Communication Show. It's a privilege. It's a pleasure. It's uplifting. And everyone who has watched or listened, order captured by love, because you will be captured by this story, as I have been and many thousands will be. Thank you for being with us on the Biz Communication Show, either the video or the podcast. Be with us again soon for another presentation that gives you winning words and ways in your business. Thank you very much. I'm Bill Lampton, the Biz Communication Guy.